did your third week of 31 days of kindness go? That's still not very good. We've been practicing this each week. And it is hard. It's hard to remember, but keep working on it. You got a great. So I got some responses back this week, more than I've had. All right, so here you're probably wondering about this one. No? Okay. Go to the next slide then. They're not interested. No. Okay, so this is from some people in our church. They were driving down Siloam Road, and I'll read what they reported to me. I'm calling them the Good Puebloans. It'll make sense in a moment. We took a drive and saw the lighter colored llama roaming Siloam Road. In the ditch by the fence was the darker colored one laying on its side and struggling to get up. We thought it had been hit or was stuck in the barbed wire, but as we got closer, it was not stuck or hit. It had fallen and could not get up. So we got it up, and it said thanks, and got his buddy, and he moved on. That's a pretty good act of kindness, right? Yeah, so we can be kind to animals too. God's creation in that. Here's some more that came to me. Somebody wrote me and said, I finally had a couple of opportunities to show kindness. Two homeless people asking for money. Then I was in Safeway trying to get something off the top shelf. I knocked a lot of product on the floor, and a lady came to help me. She showed kindness to me. As she was helping me clean up the mess, she asked what the product was that I was looking for, which was candy coating, and said that was what she was looking for. It was a dual kindness act. Amazing. How about that? You're looking for the same thing, they're able to help each other out. I know people this week that were praying for and visiting friends who've experienced unfortunate illnesses and injuries this week. Acts of kindness. There were needs around them, and they responded to those needs. I have one friend who said, I took cookies to a neighbor who received them with a big smile. And he hadn't been smiling in other interactions with him. Those cookies opened a door. And he was so excited about that, to be able to get those cookies and see that smile. So here's from somebody. My act of kindness today was to wash, dry, and comb my wife's hair. I am no expert when it comes to long hair. I would do a better job with a leaf blower. It is a simple thing to wash, dry, and comb my hair. I add this because he doesn't have much. But I know she has higher standards than I do when it comes to having her hair just right. I praise God for giving me the courage of David to even attempt it. My last one. Today was the hardest kindness I have ever done to date. I forgave my... It's been years. To get it done. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, friends, for sharing those, because they encourage us to do what needs to be done here and what was done here. We all know that. Probably the greatest gift we could give to somebody would be forgiveness. Working hard to reconcile a relationship, put it back in order, however we can do that, however we could share together with somebody. Maybe the greatest act we could do is to, like, really be kind to our spouse. Really go out of our way to help out. Or to a friend that maybe we haven't seen in a while. I've been thinking about that for myself, just to get some quick text to some of my friends that I haven't contacted in a while this Christmas. Thank you for sharing those. Thank you. May we also do the same as we need to do. So it's a part of what we're doing here, the generosity game. the Lord was intentional. Is intentional with his generosity toward us. The greatest intention. His Son. The greatest intention toward us is the giving of his Son. Can't get any higher, any bigger, any more than that. We always gain when we're generous. We always gain when we are generous. And I think I proved that with what these people shared and how they were intentional about their generosity. And that intentionality can be spontaneous, like getting the sheep out of the ditch, right? Could have driven by that. But yet, God moved in the heart. And as one of the persons said to me yesterday when I asked permission, it wasn't very easy to do. Can you imagine that? Excuse me. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap. And if we sow bountifully, Lord, help us in our intentionality to be bountiful. As you have done with us, you didn't share sparingly with us. You shared the best. And the only thing that could make a difference in our lives. Thanksgiving, as we started off in this series, Thanksgiving leads to generosity. As we are thankful in our life, it'll be much easier for us to be generous. And then we talked about Elizabeth and Mary, and we just talked about our lives of living generously as they did in obedience to God's instruction and God's direction and God's movement in their life. We talked about giving generously, the wise men as they came. Yes, they had a lot to give, but by what they gave, they also showed us what they gave up, leaving family, leaving their home, making the journey to be able to be a part of their lives. Lord, help us to give generously too. And today we'll talk about serving generously. Jamie's done a great job of setting the pace for us even this morning. We're going to look at two men. We're going to look at... There you go. Thank you. You learned from the children's sermon. I heard you. Zechariah and Joseph. Two men who served very, very generously. The question I asked in the second sermon was this. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? That which we do today will be what we'll be remembered for tomorrow. And the people around us. Do we want to be remembered as Scrooge? As the Grinch? Well, they did make some change there, okay. But that's not who we want to be remembered for. We would like to be remembered for Jesus, the wise men, Elizabeth, Mary, Zechariah, Joseph, people in your life that have made a difference in your life, that have encouraged you, helped you, and that have been generous to you. That's who I know you want to be remembered for. So I have large amounts of scripture today. So I'm going to comment as I read and as I go through. This is the story of Zechariah and Joseph, as we have recorded for us. So we're in Luke chapter 1. Luke has said, I've done my research. I have eyewitnesses. I've done my best to give you a history that's accurate and applicable to what you want to do. So as we think about Zechariah, in the days of Herod, this is verse 5, chapter 1 of Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and Jamie brought that up. He was a priest. He's part of a line, part of a family, part of a heritage a legacy of men who have served the Lord in the temple. We know it tells us a little bit about him. He's of the division of Abijah. And for him to be a priest, certainly coming from that family, but also he has to live a holy life and have to have a holy life in his background, in his character, but also in his character now, he has to continue to be holy. For all of us. For all of us. That we would be like that. We continue to be holy, seeking after the Lord. And he had a wife. He's married. It's a good thing. It's the right thing. Honor the Lord in that. The days before you're married, the days you're married, honor the Lord in that, my friends. Men especially, let's take and let's do what God would have us to do with our spouses. And honor them and lift them high and help them to grow. Because it says of them, they were both righteous before God. We said last week, well, really the first week, we said this, it's, if one is a God-fearer, one is a God-fearer, that makes it easier for them to be God-fearers. As a man and a woman are both God-fearers, it should help them to be better God-fearers, more holy people. And it says of Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were both righteous, that they were characterized. They're not perfect, but they're characterized by holiness, by righteousness. God has moved in their lives and they wanted to live like him. I, the Lord, am holy, so be holy as I am holy. Leviticus chapter 19, 1 Peter chapter 1. They were helping each other to be righteous, to live characterized by holiness. And this is how they would do that, by walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. When you know what he has for you, now we're responsible to be able to live that way. And they were doing that. They knew the commands of the Lord as they had them in the Pentateuch, the first five books that we have of the Old Testament. As they had that, they were seeking to live that way and to honor God in that. Again, not perfect like us. We're not perfect, but seeking that. Seek first the kingdom of God, right, and his righteousness. Seek to be holy, to keep your eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews chapter 12. We see that in their lives as they were walking blamelessly in all the commandments, statutes. But they had no child. But they had no child. How difficult we know. And it says in verse 24 as Elizabeth gives a report about her pregnancy. Thus the Lord had done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. We know, especially in that day, there was this reproach, there was this shame, unfortunate as it was, because they didn't have children. I thought that was a blessing of God, and that was unfortunate, because that was God's choice for them. He had allowed that not to happen for them. There shouldn't be shame. There shouldn't be reproach in that. There's still servants of God to serve with or without a child and bring honor to the Lord. She's barren and both were advanced in years. Now, it talks about his service now. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They might not even get this. All the priests that were there, they might not even get this opportunity. But God had this for him, for Zechariah, this opportunity to burn incense this one time. And as he goes into the temple, it says that there were a whole multitude of people who were praying outside of the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not. Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." There's something about it. He's a man of prayer. He's been praying about this. Not just, you know, glibly getting by, you know, "Well, Lord, maybe." No, you see in this that this man had been praying desperately that God would provide a child for he and Elizabeth. How about you? What's the thing that you're desperate to pray about? What's the thing that you got up this morning and you prayed about? I prayed for my kids. There'll be people with a contentment. My grandkids, to pray that they would be people of contentment. For godliness with contentment, 1 Timothy 6 is what? Great gain. For godliness with contentment is great gain. And here's a man, they're content where they're at, but as long as I can pray for it, you just will pray for it. James 4, 2. You don't have because you don't ask. Just keep asking. Whatever it is, you're praying. Your kids. I saw a little meme this week. It said this, basically, dear prodigal child, just come home. Just come home. And we have them in our families. We have them. I know you pretty well. And I pray for that your kids, you may not call them prodigal, but they're far away from the Lord. They're not where they need to be, and your heart breaks over that. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you keep praying, and you keep praying. And I say to you, keep on praying. Samuel said this, far be it from me that I should fail you. Far be it from me that I should fail you by failing to pray for you. As I prayed for you this morning, many of you, I went through your ones, as I do every Sunday morning. I pray for the people you've listed. And we're going to be doing that again pretty soon. Sarah, get ready. We're going to get some more names to put on our prayer list. Sarah types them up for me every year. These people in your heart that you know need to come to Christ. And you're praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Like Zechariah did. God had heard his prayer. God hears those prayers. Every prayer that's raised up, he understands and he hears. Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And you shall call his name John. You'll have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he'll be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Something comes out to me in this. They're going to have to parent. If he's going to be a man who doesn't drink wine or strong drink, they're going to have to teach him that. They're going to have to parent him. They're going to have to discipline him in the instruction and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers, this is what you should do. Mothers, you participate in this. Certainly you will. They're going to have to parent him. They're going to have to guide him and direct him into the things that God has for him. And he will turn many of the children of the Lord of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's Malachi chapter 4, where that's prophesied that's going to happen. And to make a people ready, to make a ready for the Lord, a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. He recognizes where he's at, stage of life, right? And I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Love that. I circled, underlined in my Bible. What's the good news that comes about Jesus? He's the Savior of the world. He's going to save his people from his sins. And he's got good news here, foreshadowing, helping prepare the people for Jesus and what he has for him. It's good news. And behold, because you'll be silent and able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. You can imagine his joy hearing all this, the excitement of hearing this. It's good news. Wow, the great joy that's going to come. And you can imagine when he hears this, like, oh, I got caught. you do, God's guided you to know my heart. My heart, there was, unfortunately, some unbelief there. can kind of understand why that would be the case. But that's not what Gabriel communicates. Gabriel communicates, I came from God. You know I'm an angel, right? I'm in the temple. I'm not going to lie to you. I wish you'd have believed it in your heart that this truly was going to happen. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they're wondering at the delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. This is not a conception like Mary had. This is a human conception. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Now go over to verse 57. You've got the angel coming to Mary. You've got Mary visiting Elizabeth. You can see there, you can see Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, Father Magnificat. And now the birth. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Woohoo! Right? Yeah, man, you talk about being excited. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. You can imagine they did. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called his name Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by that name. That doesn't make sense. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, because he can't speak. And he wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered, what in the world took place here? And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke. He was a man of obedience. God had told him what to do, shared together with him, this is what you should call his name. His name shall be called John. And you can imagine him during those months of waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, I would imagine there might have been some time during then he's going, yeah, but that's not really the name I want for him. Can you picture that? I mean, you know. He got out his baby book and he just turned to the Z's to begin with. He said, Zechariah is what his name's supposed to be. The fact is, no, that he knew in his heart his name is to be John. He knows that. And he's got to hang on to that. I mean, he doesn't know that he's going to get his speech back if he calls him John. He didn't know that. But it comes to him. This is what it needs to be. This is what God said. I'm going to do that. He's an obedient man, too, in the midst of all that's taken place. And fear, notice this. This is really cool. Notice what happened when a man obeys. This happens when a teenager obeys. This happens when a kid obeys. This happens when a woman obeys. This happens when a God-fearer obeys. People notice. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord is with you. Listen, when we obey, first of all, when we obey, it gives us the opportunity to bless God. That's what Zechariah did. That's what it says in verse 64. He blessed God. As his tongue was loose, he blessed God. I'm sure he probably did. So I get to talk again. I was obedient to what he asked me to do. Therefore, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me my voice back. But notice how as his obedience came, his blessing spread to the other people. And that's what happens when you obey. That's what happens when I obey. The blessing spreads to other people. They notice our obedience to God. And they have the opportunity to bless him and honor him. Because, see, we've been blessed to bless God and to bless others. That's why God brings his blessing to us, so that we can bless others. In our living, in our giving, in our serving. We see that right here. As he does what God asks him to do, he holds to that promise and names him John. The people around, they take notice, and it encourages them. Because, see, when a God-fearer fears God, it helps other people to be God-fearers. But as you follow God, it helps others. When we share these acts of kindness, what does it do in your heart? In your heart, you go, that's really good. God, what could I do? God, how could you use me? And we see that here with Zechariah. We could spend a lot of time there. We have a long ways to go. The clock's not working in the back, so I've got all day. I don't know. It's not usually off. I don't know what time. What time is it? Oh, I better get going here. That's Zechariah. You know these stories. They're not unfamiliar to you, right? Look, take a look just quickly at Joseph. Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. You might even read this passage before your Christmas dinner or presents. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, holiness, they're keeping themselves pure, right before God. She's found to be a child from the, who? Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, look at this, put this together now. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, same thing as righteous, same thing as blameless, same thought, following God, seeking to bring honor to him, being obedient to what he had, not perfect, but that this is how he's characterized, and unwilling to put her to shame. Like you see some kindness in that? I see lots of kindness in that. She's more important. I've got to honor her in the midst of not knowing what's going on. And resolved to divorce her quietly. He knew what the regulations were for divorce. He knew what the regulations were for the situation they're in, being unmarried, better to have a child or being pregnant. He knew that. He knew God's word in relationship to divorce, marriage. He knew that. But he wanted to put her first. He wanted to be gracious to her and kind to her. And as he considered these things, it's a beautiful thought. You know, there's a time to act and act quickly, but there's also time to sit back and think and try to process what's going on. And here's a man who's trying to do that. Because he knows he wants to honor God. He's a just man, and he wants to honor Mary because he loves her and he cares for her. Well, the angel comes, as we know, as he considered these things. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, found in Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, this is fun. I don't hardly even have to read. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He was obedient, like Zechariah was obedient to what God said to him. He did what he's supposed to do. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. He was very wise, circumspect, chaste. And he called his name Jesus. I read something interesting the other day. It said this. They called him Emmanuel, but he was never called by that name in Scripture. I don't think I knew that. I mean, just put it together. Yeah. No, he's never called. He was never called. He was always called, well, mostly, Jesus. Right? But they didn't call him Emmanuel, even though he is Emmanuel. He is with us and with you and with us collectively. But his name was Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. But they didn't call him. They didn't say, hey, Emmanuel, come over here. They did say Jesus. His name meaning the Lord saves. He saved his people from their sins. Luke chapter 1 or Luke 2. Thank you, Jamie. It's the chapter after 1. This is the one we read, maybe the one you read too. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he's the house and lineage of David. Not significant. He honors the authorities. the government authorities. I don't know if he had joy about it. It's a long journey. He knows he's going to get taxed. All of us, you know, graciously and have joy every time we fill out all the tax and pay our taxes, right? I don't know, but he was a man who obeyed and he respected authority that was around him. He was registered with to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. He stuck with her. He stuck with her through the thick and the thin, all that's going on. He stuck with her. That's so significant. Keep working on that, my friends, in your marriage. I know some of them are hard and difficult. Understand that. But best you can. Your best you can. Stick with the one God brought to you. And they were there. The time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a... because there was no place for them in the inn, right? And then you got the shepherds. Skip over that. Joseph's not involved in that. He was, okay? But he's not recorded here as being involved in that. And at the end of 8 days, verse 21, when he was circumcised, he was called... why did they call him Jesus? That's what the angel said. He's obeying God. He said, this is how you should name him. He's going to save his people from the sins. The name represents that. But he's obedient. Again, we see obedience. Just like we saw Zechariah. Name him John. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I want to be obedient to what God's call is in my life. And when they came time for the purification, according to the law of Moses, verse 22, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. He knew the law. He knew God's word. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have this time of dedication, a purification, and you're supposed to bring an offering to that, Father. Or here it is, the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there's a man, now you got Simeon, and you got Anna. And we go on, now you have to go back to Matthew. Just putting it together as the chronological way would be. You go back to Matthew chapter 2 and the wise men. We read through there, we go through there, and we come to verse 13. Chapter 2, Matthew 2. Now when they had departed, behold an angel, when the wise men had departed, had left. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Again, lots of angels and dreams here. And said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And so what did he do? Verse 14, he rose and he took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. He got up and he left. He got going. When God said go, he goed. At nighttime. Through this long journey. And I'm sure he gathered a few things up, but probably didn't have a whole lot. Well, maybe it had some bars of gold. A little frankincense, a little myrrh, right? But when God said go, he got up and he went. And they departed, and they departed to Egypt. He reigned there until the death of Herod. This is fulfilled what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Herod kills the children, and he comes back. Verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream again. He's probably maybe didn't sleep well sometimes because he's wondering if an angel's going to appear in his dreams, right? And he said, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose. He got up. He goed. He took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of the father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in another dream, he withdrew. He goed to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, and that he would be called a Nazarene. Well, that's through two pages of my notes. I didn't even have to look at them. It's pretty good. Now, here's what I want you to think about. I see servant written all over Zechariah. And I see servant written all over Joseph. Those are things we read. They were humble servants. I remind you this. When you serve others, you're serving Jesus. Matthew chapter 25. When you serve others, you're serving Jesus. And you know this, when you serve yourself, you're serving yourself. When we serve others, we're serving Jesus. Now think about Zechariah as an older man, but a new father. Older man, but a new father. How he'd have to serve Elizabeth, an older woman and new mother with her first child. They say this, getting old is not for sissies. I could get lots of hands that would go up. You might raise two of them for yourself, right? Getting old is not for sissies. But picture this for Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're old. And now they have a new child. Y'all out there with grandparents, and maybe you're helping with your kids, your grandkids, you know how hard it is. You know that after about an hour, you're tired. How hard that would have been. How difficult that would have been. And think about Joseph. Now, a younger man, probably not as young as Mary, but a younger man, but a new father with a new child and a young wife. Away from family. They're in Bethlehem. Probably were in Bethlehem for a while. Because they probably, you know, it says the wise men came and visited Jesus in a house. It says the child, not the infant, the child, not the baby, the child could have been there for up to the 2 years that Herod was trying to kill the children because he recognized that's how old he could have been. They're away from family during that time. How hard that must have been. And then they have to go to Egypt. For how long? We're not really sure. But a significant time. Think about how long it took them to get there on their own. Think about how Joseph would have had to serve his wife. Not the easiest of situations that the Lord allowed them to be in. But it was the Lord's divine plan to bring the baby and Savior Jesus into the world. But based on what we've read about the character of Zechariah and Joseph, we've looked at two holy and humble servants who loved and served the Lord and their wives. But remember this, I said this about Elizabeth and Mary. They're just ordinary people like you and me living God-pleasing lives. They're not special people in that sense. They're just ordinary people like you and me. But God had a divine plan for them, a very special plan for them. One, I think because they were righteous, they were just, they were living and following Him, they were walking according to all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But the fact is, that's how our lives should be. I need more amens after that. That's how our lives should be. Thank you. As ordinary people, but living, we want to be God-fearing people like Elizabeth and Mary and for Zechariah and Joseph. Honoring Him like they did, as loving servants. So let's think about serving generously like Zechariah and Joseph. Your serve includes wherever you are, whenever you are, and whomever you're with. For all of us, our neighborhood, our work, our sports, all the things we're involved in, that our serve includes that. Think about this. Oh, the clock's on now. I guess I got to wrap it up here pretty soon, another 30 minutes or so. Think about this. What's the sense or feeling when you have to serve somebody? I'm just thinking honestly. There are some times I go, I know it never happens to you, but I go, I don't want to do that. I got other things I want to do. Oh, there we go. Let that guy come forward real quick like Steve. We all know that. There are times that's how we feel when the opportunity comes to serve. It's hard sometimes. And the fact is this. You can't serve everybody all the time. Just honestly, you can't do that. You'd go crazy. You wouldn't be able to take care of your own needs. But wouldn't it be good if Most of the time, we could go, okay. I can do that, Lord. Well, maybe a little smile. Maybe not so much frown, okay? I'm just being honest. You know that. We all know that. How sometimes it's hard. And yet, if we just grab on just a little bit more, God, this is what you have for me. My eyes have seen a need. I saw a sheep laying on the side of the road that I needed to get up. Whatever it is. That we could just see this as a great opportunity to bless God, to honor Him, but also to bless the people around us. Lord, use me. That's a really dangerous prayer. Lord, use me. I'm open. Thinking about Zechariah and Joseph as husbands in marital relationship. What would make your spouse, and I've added it, or your friend, feel cherished or respected or loved? Thinking of us men, what could we do to help our spouses feel cherished and respected and loved? Gary Thomas written a book called Cherishing, and he says this. He asked that question. Whether it's going on vacation, remodeling the house, or moving to a new location, what would make your spouse feel cherished, respected, or loved? That thought should drive our thoughts and impact our decision. I'm talking about two men who were married, so I'm kind of giving a little application there. It applies to anybody around you, your kids, your grandkids, friends and around. I understand that, but specifically just thinking about Zechariah and Joseph. Men, what could we do to help our wives feel cherished, respected, and loved? And I'm thinking about just for all of us, how will you serve your family or friends on Christmas Day? I'm getting you to think ahead to that day of celebrating, however you're doing it, with your family, maybe apart. But I'm just trying to get us to think intentionally. What will we do on Christmas Day to be able to serve the people that we're around? I got a little Christmas present. It says, kind people are my kind of people. It was really, really gracious, those that gave it to us. But just a reminder, that's what we're trying to do. Kind people, to be kind, to be respectful, to be loving, as Zechariah and Joseph were. Who you serve as you leave in just a few moments, to reach out to them and to encourage them and to help them. Let me finish with this, and the kids are going to sing. I had extra time because the clock was off. Right? This is from Dave Cook. He's a sports psychologist, written a number of really good books. If you ever saw the movie, the golf movie, 7 Days in Utopia, he's the one that wrote that. But he writes this. Just got this week, just like God. I've always wanted to know more about Jesus' daddy, haven't you? Yeah, not really a lot about him in Scripture. He says, but one day as I was reading the Christmas story, God showed me all I needed to know about Joe. If he were around today, they'd probably, what his close friends would call him, Joe. Think about this. His girlfriend gets pregnant, and it wasn't by him. What would you do? He's quietly going to divorce her, but in a dream, an angel of God spoke to him and told him not to because she was supernaturally pregnant with the Son of God. What would you do? That's a big stretch for any man. Joe believed with faith and he walked it out. And I have to ask, who do you think delivered that baby in the barn and cut the umbilical cord? What a man. Again, after Jesus was born, an angel of God told Joe to get up in the middle of the night and take Mary and Jesus to Egypt to live because Herod was searching to kill him. What would you do? Joe woke them up, left at dark on foot with a young child to journey through a wilderness of animals and thieves to Egypt, a foreign land with different language and no family to support them. Joe saved our Savior. Joe is a hero in this story. And once more, an angel of the Lord spoke to Joe in a dream and told him several years later to return to Israel. The angel led him to Nazareth to start a new life. What would you do? Would you be homesick for your family and want to live close to them? Joe listened because of that, a prophecy from the Old Testament fulfilled about where Jesus would grow up. Joe had faith, guts, courage, tenacity, stamina, integrity, and a noble heart. Knowing that is enough. God gave me all the insight my heart longed for. I don't need to know how he died because I know how he lived. I look forward with great enthusiasm to meeting him in heaven one day and thanking him for being willing to be used by God in the rescue mission for man and for being the kind of dad to which I endeavor. When you hear the name of Joseph this Christmas, let all of this sink in. What a man God chose to be the daddy of Jesus and the husband of Mary. Father, thank you for the little bit we know about this man. And Zechariah too. Not perfect, but men pursuing you and seeking you. Thank you. Help us. Help us as men to be like that. Thank you for our kids singing for us, blessing us this morning.